Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the How to Lead podcast, conversation to help you develop yourself and those around you. My name is Adam, joined by Clay. Clay, you get the coolest speaking gigs, and you've got one coming up where you get to go talk to a nationally ranked men's basketball team. Is that fair to say it that way?
Yeah, that's very fair. And let me just also say, there are times where it is cool, and there are plenty of times where it is not. It is less cool.
So. Yes. So let's celebrate the cool times.
Yeah, exactly.
This is social media esque. So we get to just put the best parts out there, right? So
yes.
This is
all
one
my
of the
friends,
cool ones.
My friends at the Alabama State Tax Assessor's Office. That was one of those that I was like, you know, doesn't have as much curb appeal, but yeah. they're amazing people working there
everywhere,
and it's the beauty of the way life works that there yeah. really are amazing people everywhere. But yes, getting to speak to a group of D1 athletes. I'm actually speaking to the basketball team in the morning and then the gymnastics team in the afternoon.
Okay, which so if you got in a fight are, if you got in a fight
yeah that's
with
a great
one
question.
Player from each of those teams, who will beat you up faster? I'm putting my money on the gymnast.
Those gymnasts are tough.
Gosh, they are.
Yes, that Carrie Strug moment doing yeah. that vault on that broken ankle that was cemented her in yes. warrior lore.
She is That's amazing. Well, that's fun to be able to go and to do that, and like all these places, you know, because I love what you're talking about. When you're dealing with people, you're not going to do a message on like how to improve your jump shot or how to do a triple handspring.
Right.
You're talking about people issues or things that are relevant to people, especially people working on a team. So it doesn't matter if you're a D1 athlete or if you are working in the tax assessor's office. That's what I love about our job. And when we do get to go speak, these principles apply everywhere. And so you got a cool story that you're going to share with these groups about working together on a team and doing a little bit of reminiscing as well. And it's a cool story. You know, you and I both have backgrounds in pastoral ministry. So shocker, we read the Bible. And there's a really cool story from the life of King David, ancient King David. And so tell that story, because, I mean, regardless of what you believe about the Bible, it's a really neat story.
Yeah, it is remarkable.
And there's some principles that apply. So talk about that.
Yeah, let me just say too, you know, this might be something you could use with your team. This is just for me, I'm trying to figure out how do I help this coaching staff motivate their team to do the things that nobody else wants to do, to accomplish what it is that everybody wants to accomplish. And that's not easy to do. And it takes a lot of intrinsic and extrinsic motivation to do that. So
yeah.
To your point, this is not necessarily a leadership talk. This is more devotional-esque, but my hope is that maybe it would encourage you, inspire you, to your point, allow you to do some reminiscing, but it also might just be something that you could use with your team at some point as well. So yeah, before King David was King David, he's got this season of his life where he's running from and fighting with Saul, who was the king. You know, the hilarious moment is when he's in there playing the harp for Saul, and Saul throws a javelin at him.
A spear. That's another episode. You think your boss is bad. We got some stories.
Exactly. You think you've had a rough day. So anyway, so they have this contentious relationship in 2 Samuel 23. There's this really interesting little segment where the author recounts these warriors that were basically, it was like they were his special forces. They were like the ones who were protecting him so that he could lead the charge against Saul. And there are three of them specifically. I'm not going to give their names for one because I can hardly pronounce their names.
Yeah.
But let me tell you real quickly about the lore that the author writes about. One of them, the author says, in one battle killed 800 men.
That's
which,
crazy.
I mean, that feels like William Wallace kind of thing.
Yeah. That doesn't even make it to the movies. Like no movie star has done that.
No,
800.
No.
That's crazy.
Like an 800 body count. Like, come on now, you know, and I'm thinking about like the 477th person that was like, no, I think I got this. I think I can handle him. Right.
Yeah.
But they just kept coming. So this dude's like, he's a bad individual. The next one, they talk about how he fought so long in one particular battle that his hand, it says, froze itself around his sword. Which makes me think he was so, his adrenaline rush, the endurance that he was able to show that is his hand basically locked up and was like, we're just going to become part of the sword.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable. And then the last one, this is a little trivial, but says that he defended a field of lentils against the Philistines.
Which, the details are amazing. Yeah, no, I love
ridiculous.
It.
Have you had lentil soup, by the way?
I have. It's good. When it's done the right way, it's awesome.
It's got to be done the right way, because when it's not, it's just like, who wakes up in the morning? He's like, you know what I want? It's delicious. But anyway, this guy evidently was... But the thing about this guy that was remarkable is he's basically defending the food supply for their people. And so, yeah, celebrate that guy. You know, I mean, if somebody stood in front of Chick-fil-A and was like, no, I'm not leaving until we defend it. I'm like, yeah, big ups to that guy.
Yeah.
So they recount who these people are and their legend. And then it says that they're moving. They're trying to take this ground from the Philistines. Goliath was a Philistine, for those of you keeping track at home. And David, he's almost like he's daydreaming. He's almost like, you know, you being like, oh, I can't wait to go see my parents in Myrtle Beach so that I can get what? I don't even know. What do you like love to eat there when you go to Myrtle Beach? Some seafood?
Oh, just some seafood. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, some shrimp or something like that. Yeah.
So he's basically doing that. He's like, God, I can't wait for the day when we can get to that well and get a drink of water. I just, that nothing like that water in that particular well. And these three warriors, they overhear that and they're like, was that a command? Like, are we to go? So they were like, we're going to go do it. So they fight through the Philistine line to get to the well. They get a bucket or a vase of water to bring back to their guy, which is amazing. You know, I'm sure David felt like an idiot. Like, I didn't mean for you guys to go do that. Like, I just was saying, like, wouldn't it be nice? You know, Beach Boy song. And so they give him the jar of water, and he's so humbled by it, he does the most interesting thing. He pours it all out.
Oh my God.
He says, I am not going to stand here and drink this water that you all sacrificed for. I'm humbled. I'm so honored. And he poured it all out and said, I love you all. I'm here with you all, right? Mm. Which is, I'm sure they were kind of pissed about, being like, bro, do you know what we did for that water? You know, like, did we share it? Give it to us. Share. I don't know. That idea that there are people that are fighting alongside of you, that there are people that are giving their all, that are doing such remarkable work, that you have that overwhelming feeling of, that profound feeling of, I can't believe that I get to do this with you all. And because of that, I'm going to pour it all out because you all have poured it all out.
Yep.
I think that's a really remarkable thing. So what I'm going to tell this team is, hey, you guys have 30 days. You got 30 days left until the Monday of the National Championship Day. Can you, for the next 30 days, can you remember the people beside you who are giving up, sacrificing, pouring things out? Can you remember the people that have gone before you? And are you willing to pour it all out for the next 30 days for the people that are standing beside you?
So
that's the hope. I'm hoping that'll be motivating for them, inspire them. When they win the Natty, that'll be just a real great story to come back and tell.
That will be. Can you imagine if this team wins and they'll be like, what was the turning point?
Oh, that was,
and they'll
the
be
moment.
Like, well, that like, dude,
they're just pouring water out.
Yeah.
They're, just
they're all pouring water out all over the floor. Right. People are slipping. Right. There's concussions. They're going to be like, some guy from Atlanta like talked about defending Chick-fil-A we're going to defend it. Exactly. So it's good. Yeah. First of all, phenomenal story. I love those details. It's so inspiring. You know, as I hear it, I'm thinking about David. What a great leadership principle there to go, I don't want the trappings of leadership right
That's
now.
Right.
And
that's right.
What I want to do is I want to enjoy this together as a team. So I'm going to view us more as a circle than a hierarchy.
That's
really,
right.
really powerful right there.
That's right. And if we
leaders.
All can't have it, then I'm not going to have it.
That's
and so
right.
I'm going to wait for the moment when we all can. Until
right.
then, I'm just going to pour it all out for you all.
That's right. And so, man, there's a lot to mess with leaders right now. I could start to meddle. What's your office like? Do you get bonuses early? Like all kinds of stuff. Do you get
the perks that the leader gets? You're saying the parking
that's right.
spot?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you get a larger expense account to go to nicer restaurants that get reimbursed than what your staff do? I mean, all this kind of stuff. So, hey, do you think you're better or do you think you have a role that is there to serve? I think that's a great principle that we could take from this.
I love that. Seeing leadership not as I'm climbing the ladder so that I can get privileges.
Yep.
No, as I should I climb the ladder, actually the obligation, the responsibility that I have should increase and not just the privileges, because surely there certainly are some perks that come with it. But to your point, to not be in it for the perks, but to be in it for who I'm serving and who
That's
I'm
right.
getting to stand beside and sacrifice alongside of. That is just such a better way.
Yeah. But two things here that I think we can frame up the conversation for a lot of us is who's around you and then who's gone before you. So, I think we could just think through that, like who's around you right now that is maybe who is somebody on your team that you feel like is fighting through that battle of the Philistines to get something for the team, that jug of water, whatever it is, and their effort is inspiring to you. So
I'll give you one right now.
Yeah.
I think about Aaron that does all the producing and editing for this podcast.
That's right.
Just a genuine, terrific guy, strong attention to detail, and has to listen through this baloney to put it in such a palatable format so that other people might enjoy it. Shout out to Aaron, right?
Yes. Soundofarose.com. Go check him out. He's great. He's going to the well for us. Thank you, Aaron, for going to the well.
Evan Chastain, that you and I have both become friends with. Evan does a lot of really helpful marketing work for me through Uplink Marketing. And I feel so grateful for the effort that he puts in to try to take the content that I have, to splice it up, to put it in a format. But I mean, he does things that I don't even think about doing, which is just tremendous. So people like that.
Yeah. I think about my business partner, Matt Briggs, the way that guy can stay on top of his details, the way he knows what he is good at, the way I watch him interact with and serve our clients. It's inspiring. It makes me want to up my game. I don't know which of those three characters he is. Is he the one that killed 800? Is he the one with carpal tunnel syndrome that was around the sword? I don't know. He's all of them.
Is he the lentil lover?
Or is he the lentil lover? He's just protecting the food. But all of those, it makes me want to up my game. Yeah. And that's what I love about a team that, you know, you and I joke a lot about the solopreneur journey and things like that. But there's really no solopreneur journey because we've got a team around us. It's just not a team that's on our payroll or on your payroll. And that's what's so great about a team is I know teams, like we could bash teams all day and do you not know and what they do and how they're annoying and they chew gum really loud and all that kind of stuff. And they're always microwaving lentils and it stinks up the whole office.
Sorry. Stinking up the whole office. You're so right.
And so, or we can force ourselves to look at them a different way and look at it as the glass half full. And just go, but they do this, and that inspires me to want to excel still more. So I love that message for that team. I think it'll be really helpful.
You posed two sides of this, which I thought were great. Not only are there people beside you that are sacrificing, that are doing really great work, that are pouring it out for you, but I love what you said about the people that have gone before us too, because maybe somebody's sitting there going like, there ain't nobody that I'm trying to pour anything out for. Like I might pour one out for the homies, but I ain't pouring it out for nobody at work.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
If that does happen to me, I love what you said about, well, let's think about them differently. And if you just can't, then let's think about the people that have gone before. Right.
Yep.
Let's think about, I mean, I was thinking about that with this basketball team. I don't know any of their parents, but I can imagine the sacrifice that they're, single mom, single dad, grandparents, whoever made to get them to the place. I mean, you know how it works with kids right now. I mean, the amount of driving across town to take a kid to, you know, a special training or an AAU practice, the amount of, I'm sure there's single moms represented that work multiple jobs to be able to pay for the extra skill training, whatever it is. I mean, I can only imagine the grandparents that were able to keep those kids anchored to good so that they didn't get into some of the trouble that derails plenty of remarkable athletes. And so, yes, thinking about those people going, all right, well, if I can't pour it out for the people beside me, am I willing to pour it out for the people that have poured it out for me that have gone before?
Yeah. And here's what's ironic, because I know the team you're going to. I know one of the kids on that team. I don't know him personally because he played at the local high school here in
Boys go to.
Right. And we are dear friends with their head coach. I know the sacrifice that family went through and goes through every season to pour into those kids. Wow. And across the board, right? Because that head coach, they now have four kids, two that they've recently adopted, had two biological. And just what that did to turn the whole family, I mean, their whole schedule is focused on, and it's not so dad can have a great career. It was, no, this is our calling in life, is to serve these kids during these 4 years that we have them. And they do an amazing job, right? And so all of us have that story like that. We may not know it, but again, there's something pretty powerful about turning off the radio, turning off a podcast. So I'm giving you an opportunity, just turn it off. And just sit there and start to think about all the people in your life that have taught you something, done something for you, given you a shot before
prayed
we hit record.
For you.
Yeah, before you and I hit record, I was talking about a guy named John who was the department head when I did the college program down at Walt Disney World in 1996. Of a stack of like, you know, 100 or so resumes, he picked 6 people to be a part of that internship, and I was one of them. And I don't give that guy enough credit in my heart and in my mind that I need to, because that was really one of the biggest breaks or shots that I got, because it put, my grades weren't stellar, so it put something on my resume that got me a better job that led to, you know, basically where we are today. And so it's like guys like that, we all have people like that in our life. And so this story is another great reminder that you can almost see like David in that moment where it was handed to him, all of that flashed before his eyes. And he was just kind of like, who am I? You know, like I am not a self-made man right now.
That's right.
And
that's right.
None of us are.
And I think that, you know, Adam, a lot of times the application to this would be, so go think about John, go find his address and go write him a note, right? For this basketball player, think about that high school coach that's got the 4 kids, and think about the sacrifice he made, and go write him and send him a text. Which that might be the application.
Yeah,
but I think maybe the best way we honor the people that have sacrificed for us is to pour it all out for them. Is to sacrifice so that we can honor that. Right, the way we live our life, the way we lead our teams, the way we work at work. That when I work in such a way that it honors them, that is the most honoring thing I could do for them. I mean, expressing gratitude, sure, incredibly important. But maybe the best thing you could do today is go, you know what? I'm going to pour it all out. I'm going to think about those 3 or 4 or 5 people that have sacrificed for me, and I'm going to pour it all out for them today. I'm going to work in such a way that it honors the sacrifice they've made for me.
Perfect. I love it. Well, Clay, I'm glad. I'm glad we talked about this. Again, lots of different things for the leaders, for us as teammates. I think all of this produces, and you mentioned this when you were talking about David's story, is humility. And I love what a guy that you and I both know, Louis Giglio, said years ago: you cannot make yourself humble. You can only be made humble. And going through moments like this where you reflect or you look and admire the team around you, if it makes you humble, that's good. Because we've talked about that before. We did an episode on Level 5 Leadership and the 2 things that they have in common: unbelievable drive and a deep sense of personal humility. And you can't go make yourself humble. It's going through moments like this where you're made humble, and that makes you a better teammate and a better leader.
Good.
So it's a good exercise.
Pour it all out. Pour one out for the homies today, Adam.
Do it. Do it. Pour it out. All right. Good to be with you, Clay. Talk to you next time.
You too.
Well, that's all we got for today's episode of the How to Lead podcast. You can always reach out to us via email. We can be reached at info@howtolead.work. That's info@howtolead.work. Every episode is mixed and edited by the team over at Sound of a Rose. You can learn more about them at soundofarose.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.